El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then, I'd come on this show to defend those opinions. But now I don't really do any of that shit. I just do this show. Joining me today, he is the frontman of the fantastic rock band Countless Thousands. He's also probably running for some sort of political office in whatever area you live in, provided you live in Glendale, California. He's also just one of the nicest guys in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, Danger Van Gorder. Also joining me, he is the once and current mayor of Podcast City. He's also my co-host on this podcast. He also hosts a podcast of his own called Hey Julie, which you can catch whenever the Big Brother season is heating up. Ladies and gentlemen, he's here every damn week, Brett Rader. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. How the fuck are you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, yeah? That's Brett. Brett's here. I probably mentioned Brett in the intro this week because we only have one guest. So it's got to be me or Brett in addition to the other guest. Last week it was me because I had to shout out how good I am at comedy.
So good.
So good at it. So good. Danger's here.
Hi.
How are
hi,
you guys. Doing?
I am really
you
good
know, the
because
I got part of this show for me is the first few minutes.
Got an extra word out.
Because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life, when all I really want to do is talk about what I've been up to since last week. That's why we call this segment, This Week in Mizzy. It's about to get really intense. Brett's inspecting the cigars. We got three. We could all smoke a cigar while we record this.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
It would make this room a menace.
I have to bike home. I can't do that
you
with
have
a lunch.
Bike home?
I got to bike home, you silly man.
Oh, okay. Fade
can't
it out,
do
Brett.
That with a lung full of tobacco.
Yeah, I think I could smoke and ride a bike at the same time.
You're much more talented than I am.
I think.
Bet you the first few tours de France, there were guys just smoking cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, the whole fucking way. Probably
it wasn't
winner.
Until the 70s that people stopped.
Right. Oh, yeah, we can use athleticism in science. Perhaps we should.
Well, I don't think they were using cigarettes to win.
No.
I think it's not
just the
but not they had steroids.
Social. It's like a social
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, they had to clear out that T zone, keep themselves nice and relaxed and loose. All that time and alone on those winding French roads.
Okay, so how have you been anyway?
I've been good, thank you.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Danger co-hosts a podcast with me called Misfortune, a financial crimes podcast.
It's really hard because everyone we feature on that show is the worst person that I have heard of up until that point.
Wow, so Wyclef is the worst person you've ever heard?
Because that's caveats.
That was
two
last
judges,
week's episode.
Yeah, two judges selling kids basically into jail slavery. Not down with that. Probably the worst people. But it's just the bad Samaritan showcase.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
So you should all listen to that podcast on the Unpops Podcast
the
Network.
Is,
it was just featured
excellent.
On an UpRocks article about the best storytelling podcast.
I was described as naive.
Come hear us. I wonder where that came from.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What a natural reaction out of Brett. I love that. That was great. Before we get started, I just want to mention that if you're in the LA area, come out to the Hollywood Hotel this weekend for a live episode of Best Bad Movie Ever with Tom Ryman and David Christopher Bell and special guest Jamie Loftus. And stand-up comedy from me and Quincy and the Profiles and Eccentricity people and Katie Merriam. And it's going to be a good time. Also, me and Chet are on tour in May. Go check that out.
Are we doing plugs at the top now?
I am.
Okay.
You're not.
Because I happen to have something on Saturday
nope.
as well.
Nope. Thank you, Brett.
It's going to be a good show.
No, I just wanted to get that out of the way for anyone who wants to come see us live and in person. You can do that. You have chances. We're talking about phones today.
I got a new phone, so I thought I would just do an entire podcast about it.
It's going to do 60 minutes about a phone.
Yeah.
Not just 60 minutes, the news magazine, the time.
No, I'm just going to do 60 minutes of content about my new phone. I am, basically, because I got a Huawei phone.
Spell that, please.
H-U-A-W-E-I.
Excellent.
If
those are the English characters, I'm sure there's some sort of, right. I'm sure there are Chinese
there's
characters.
A pictogram.
Yeah.
I'm sure a pictogram is how they would like it described. you know, picture your hieroglyphs.
Yeah, there you go.
You got a little, the dog. You got the man holding the plate.
Yep.
All means, those, all your little all those
famous Chinese characters.
The raven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, if the spelling of that name sounds familiar, it's because that is the phone that just a couple weeks ago, the government, like all of the government,
the American government,
FBI, the CIA, all of our intelligence agencies all banded together to say, hey, don't buy those phones because maybe China can spy on you if you buy one.
Oh, my God. So, I didn't hear about this. Are they just trying to increase Apple stock?
I think that is part of it. I think part of it is
that sort of nativism, sure. That commercial nativism silliness that our government loves to engage in.
All the iPhones are made in China. Samsung's right. A Korean company.
Well, the profits don't really stay here because they move those profits overseas through Ireland and to the Netherlands, and none of that tax refund.
Yeah.
The money doesn't stay in America.
There's no patriotic reason to own an iPhone. You're not doing America any favors.
Talking me into this Huawei here.
Owning an iPhone is the point. And when I heard that the government was worried about spying, I looked into it a little. And what I realized kind of right away is, oh, the government can't spy on me if I have this phone. Maybe China's can, but I'm not a fucking Chinese dissident.
And you're not planning on selling drugs anytime in China.
Right.
And even if you do commit a crime that China might look down upon, you're not really planning on going anytime soon.
Right. I'm not going to be in China. And I just immediately, something about that article, I was like, well, I'm in the market for a new phone, which I was. And so I bought this phone. And let's talk about the phone a little bit first. It's called a Huawei Mate SE. And this was the phone that made the government put that article out. Because this fucking phone.
As they say in Australia, it's a Huawei Mate.
Deep Australia references, but we do have Australian.
That's literally
listeners.
The most shallow reference is saying mate at the end of something.
Well, I don't know what the Huawei has to do with it.
No, just the mate thing was the joke.
Okay. I got it. Now I get it.
All right. Okay. Moving on.
But yeah, this phone, right when it was released or right when it was about to be released is when this article came out. And the thing about this phone, it's $229.
That's a steal at twice the price.
It's so cheap. And it's basically, it's an iPhone that runs on Android is what it feels like. It's more of this specific one I got is more of a copy of an LG G6, which is around $500. So even then, it's half the price.
Okay.
But this is like one of their lower level phones. But their most expensive phone is only $750. And that's basically an iPhone X with a different name on it. And it's a really good phone. Like it's got the same camera as an iPhone 8. It does all the portrait mode shit. It's dope.
Are you getting like paid by Huawei to just do an hour long commercial for their phone?
Adam, cut that out.
Yeah,
I'm just going to edit that out. I'll do it again. Are you getting paid to do an hour long commercial for Huawei?
So my first question, when you told me about this a couple of weeks ago, and I kind of looked into it a little bit more, like, why are these? We'll get into the stuff about spying. I think it's the more interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But just as a primer, if you haven't heard about Huawei, why these phones are so cheap and why they can say, oh, well, it's basically like an iPhone or it's basically like an LG, whatever, is basically there's a few economic reasons. Labor in China is less expensive.
Right.
In fact, they make our Samsungs and our iPhones there.
Yes.
But it's just the transportation of the materials to make them within China.
Right.
Transportation to the West, whether you live in Europe or the America or wherever. So they, your Apples, your Samsungs, they usually mark up that cost of transportation. They also like market a lot and all that. Huawei, I think Huawei does market a bit. They're like pretty big.
Yeah.
But lots of these,
they're the second biggest smartphone maker in the world.
Yeah. And also one of the things, they have the same specs as an LG or an iPhone, but the processors, the guts,
right,
those are cheaper. So the one thing people might say, well, it's not really an iPhone or it's not really an LG or it's not really a Samsung. They might be right. Like you might find in like a year or so, you know, maybe the processor or the memory or whatever stops working. Or the thing with Android is the phones, the operating system has to apply to all phones rather than
right.
Apple, where it's like the operating system, this is the one operating system that works on this one type of phone. So you never know how a year from now, the next Android, you know, vanilla bean, whatever they
right.
want to call it, if it's going to work on that process. You know, anyway, so anyways, that's why they're so cheap. And we can move on.
Well, I mean, like I went through a $600 Android like every 2 years, but
yeah. And
like just over time, the battery would crap out, the location services would start to really, really degrade. Like I was replacing a phone every 2 years.
Yeah,
I didn't want to do that.
So I don't know the deal with Huawei. I mean, not many people in the States have them, so we'll see over the next year or so.
Right.
With Adam, if his, you know, if his battery is going to crap out, if the lens is going to get scratched, you know, so with all these parts made by kind of slightly cheaper versions of what LG or Samsung or HTC would use, we'll see what the phone is like, but you know, yeah, but it's cheaper.
I feel like the Samsung stuff is already sort of a planned obsolescence. All these phones
are
so expensive, but like they're built to serve a couple of years because we never turned them off really.
That's the thing too.
Yeah.
There was that big thing a couple months ago where Apple admitted to slowing
right.
it down, and everyone's like, haha, we caught you trying to sell us new phones to make our phones go out of, to make our phones break and we have to buy new ones. And that's not exactly what was happening. They kind of caught this flaw in the older phones that would make it turn off randomly. So they kind of got in front of it by making the phone slow down and so it could handle the processes better. So
right.
Yeah, anyway, technical shit. That's not what the show's about. The show's about fart jokes, baby.
Fart jokes.
And the Dean scream.
That yeah. was the Dean scream.
There we go.
Oh, there we go. So
the Dean bird.
I'm just saying, like, if we have to have this sort of planned obsolescence thing in our lives, that's a cornerstone of how we communicate with our friends, our family, our jobs, and
jokes
our fans.
On you. Don't have a job.
Nice. And our
fucker.
Fans. Go ahead. Jokes on me. You don't have fans.
Jokes on
you.
Yeah.
You again.
Yeah.
You don't,
yeah.
You don't yeah. really have fans. Yeah. No, yeah. It's just me and Brett.
Never
much.
Heard of your
you.
Band.
Oh, you guys are my fans?
No, that's not what we meant.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah. But go on.
I was just saying $220 what the hell dollars every 2 years sounds a lot better than, you know, dropping $900 on this iPhone
See, that's,
8 and then having it burn out after 2 years.
That's the thing. That's a decision I made last year. My last phone was a Nokia 6, which I bought on Amazon Prime Day, also for $229. And it's a smartphone and it does all the smartphone things, but it's a very basic smartphone. And this was the same price, but it's a much better phone. And I switched my cell phone service to a company called Mint Sim. And
what?
They
the hell is this?
We can I fucking tell you,
no.
dude?
No, you gotta get it out now.
They have three plans. One, you get, I think, 5 gigabytes of data a month. One, you get 10, one, you get 20. And the thing is, it's either $15 a month, $20 a month, or $25 a month. I pay $240 a year for my phone service. And then I buy a phone that's another $230. I'm out $500, but my phone is covered for the entire year. And then next year, I'll go nuts and spend $800 on my phone. But when I was with T-Mobile and fucking getting Samsungs every fucking year, my bill was like $150 a month.
Yeah.
And I don't talk on the phone that much. I barely text. I don't do shit. I have it out of necessity. But that was the thing. Like, phones, we replace them anyway. And I just can't, I couldn't justify spending that kind of money every year on a phone just because it's the phone everyone buys.
Right. Huawei, valuable market research coming at you right here in this episode.
Yeah. Well, they're not allowed to sell phones in the US. I mean, not in retailers anymore. Most of the retailers have blocked them because of the government.
Why am I familiar with this brand then?
Because I just told you about it.
No, but I mean, I knew of Huawei. I didn't know how to pronounce it until you said it earlier, but I've known about this brand for a while without any effort whatsoever. I've owned only Samsungs, and now I have an Apple.
See, that's interesting, because I had never, until I bought that Nokia 6, I had never heard of this company. And I was just researching, you know, budget or cheaper smartphones, and Huawei came up, but I had never heard of it. And I was like, I'm not going to buy a goddamn Yugo phone. I remember a Yugo?
Nope.
Probably not.
Is that phone based, with the reference?
Is that the phone based on the Martin Scorsese children's film of the same name?
I was referencing the car that was $3,900.
Oh, no.
It was released in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Ugly as shit.
Didn't they blow up a lot?
It was a bad car. It
wasn't there for most of the 80s.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I remember.
When did you show up? When were you on the scene?
Oh, you know.
So this phone came out. I bought one. I like it. That's not really what the podcast is about.
Yeah.
What happened is the government then put this notice out that, well, if you buy this phone, the Chinese government might be able to spy on you. And if you look into that claim a little bit closer, all they're really saying is, well, if the Chinese government goes to Huawei and says, hey, can we have backdoor access into these phones, then that company might say yes. But that's what the FBI wants to do with iPhones right now. They took Apple to court last year over the right to be able to have backdoor access just in general to iPhones.
Yeah, that was a really serious social backlash. I remember a lot of people coming out and saying that, not that we're defending Apple or whatever, but we kind of need to maybe not create a key that we then can't protect.
Right. And Tim Cook, you brought up moving funds offshore and dodging taxes. Tim Cook is a fucking monster when it comes to that. He's definitely not paying his fair share into the country. But when the FBI wanted that backdoor access, he was like, no. Even when it was the San Bernardino shooter, Tim Cook was
that was the biggest.
Yeah.
That was kind of when this all came to a head.
Yeah.
They're like, we need to know what's on this guy's phone.
Right.
But then they went from, well, we need to know what's on this guy's phone to, we need to just be able to get into all the phones, because you never know what phone we'll need to be able to get into. So we just need to get into all the phones. And now, Tim Cook was like, no, well, I'm not.
Can't they do that anyway? Aren't there ways to get access to phones without getting a blanket statement that applies to all phones?
Because for one, the San Bernardino shooter, they did get into his phone. They just paid a group of hackers to do it.
Okay.
And I'm fine with that.
That's kind of a cool movie premise.
Keep the hackers employed, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when an actor does his own stunts. It's like, what are you trying to put a stuntman out of business, you selfish
Tom
fuck?
Tom Cruise, you piece of shit. Yeah, I hope your leg doesn't grow back.
Yeah. I hope Tom Cruise's leg doesn't grow back.
I don't believe it was amputated. I think it was just broken.
He'll have some multivitamins. And
is this a real story?
He'll be all
right. Tom Cruise broke his leg while shooting the Mission Impossible movie that comes out this summer, and you can literally watch the clip of him trying to jump from rooftop to rooftop and shattering his leg, and then getting up and trying to finish doing his Tom Cruise run and falling over and writhing in pain.
Can we?
It's on the internet.
Do
just
we have
type
time for that?
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Sorry. It's there's lots of it's really good on the ears.
He's apparently he's a very nice
it
person.
Conveys very well. I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
Anyways,
but is there a rumor he had to have it amputated?
No, I just said it. I was just improv, and I was like, I hope your leg doesn't grow back. And
that would have been
it. Made it seem like his leg was chopped off. No, he just shattered his femur or something.
I wanted that to be an enduring conspiracy theory. Did you know Tom Cruise only has one leg?
No, he just shattered his leg, and they had a stuntman do the rest of the movie. And I'm sure for half of the movie, his character is always sitting down.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So this was the quote from the government. "We're deeply concerned about the risks of allowing any company or entity that is beholden to foreign governments that don't share our values to gain positions of power inside our telecommunications That's networks."
A very specific qualifier.
What are our values?
Exactly. Who knows?
That's another podcast, baby.
Yeah. That was FBI Director Chris Wray. And like, fucking irony alert. Like, you're trying to get into every iPhone in America, but we're supposed to not buy these phones on the grounds that the Chinese government might try that at some point. You're already trying it. This is the safer option.
You, of all people, should be really concerned because the Chinese government is trying to get their Unpops protected Patreon subscriber only stuff for free. They're not paying their fair share. They're not paying their $5 a month to unpops.com.
It is $5 a month.
In China, it's $5.
Patreon.com/unpops.
Peking duck.
Whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
That's the thing. As soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, I get it. You want to be able to spy on me. You don't want China to be able to. I'm buying the China phone. Because that, if you look into what they want to do, it is kind of, it's kind of crazy. Every iPhone, if you're smart, has a passcode on it. So people can't just pick up your phone and use it.
My passcode's my face.
Oh. Well, that they can just bypass with a picture.
No, but
you don't.
A sophisticated picture.
No, it's a 3D. It's a 3D map of my face. It's not a picture of
my
face.
Then we'll just map your face.
If you make a mask of my face, then maybe.
We'll do some Mission Impossible level, technology.
That just means whoever steals your phone is also going to cut your head off.
Oh, and become you.
Honestly,
are you the first Brett, or are you
the first Brett?
Yes. Have you killed the other Bretts and assumed Brett's identity?
That's what
we're asking.
No. Oh, I thought he was like, if I'm the first person named Brett.
Oh.
No.
In which case, yes. Oh. Yeah, actually. Yeah.
Okay. With three T's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, that's the thing. The FBI has been reaching out to try and get this access. And for one, they don't need it. They don't need a backdoor to every phone. Motherboard, which I think is a division of Vice, did an investigation into this and found that all around the country, there are local police agencies using a device called Gray Key, which is apparently this 4x4-inch device that completely shuts down iPhone encryption. So the technology to do this on a case-by-case basis already exists.
Where does Gray Key come from?
That I don't
Who's
know.
Who's selling the Gray Key?
Unpops.com/Gray Key.
Right?
I don't know.
I was going to air horn that.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like a hacker device thing. You can get it on your Silk Road or whatever, I'm sure.
It's like $100. It's not an expensive thing.
But the whole thing with Tim Cook is he was like, no, I'm not making this key because I'm sure everyone can watch the fucking Avengers movie that's coming out next week today or this week, whenever this comes out. Like, I'm not making this easily replicable key that can just be torrented and put all over the internet so anyone can hack into anyone's phone.
Wait, did the Avengers movie leak?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Is that a plot point in the new Avengers movie?
We are struggling to figure out why you brought up the Avengers.
I am sure. No, I'm just using it as an example of like movies, Beyonce albums, all this shit gets leaked. So the same thing with the key. And he, as the CEO of the largest company, the most profitable company in the world, he's like, I don't want people to stop buying iPhones because I made a key that I gave to the government and someone hacked it or took it because of the government's run by idiots.
Yeah.
And then people are going to stop buying iPhones and now I'm not going to have a company to run.
May not just be faith in the consumer. It might also just be like, if we sell that, our market share is going to drop precipitously because people don't trust us.
That is absolutely part of it.
That's the whole reason. That's the whole reason.
And
does he care about, privacy? Sure. In as much as his
more than Zuckerberg, am I right?
His customers feeling like their phones are private is what keeps them buying the phone because then no one's going to, If there was tomorrow, anyone could go to Kick-Ass Torrents and download the thing that unlocks all Fords, people would stop buying Fords. So it's the same sort of thing. Anyways.
It's a very strong point.
But it is. And market share is a big part of it. And that's the thing. This company operates, they sell a lot of phones all around the world. Have you heard France saying, we don't want Chinese phones spying on our people? Have you heard England saying that? Have you heard any other country?
I actually recently disabled my Google alert for France, France and Chinese smartphones. So I don't know, but I used to have it.
And you didn't see it up to that point.
I don't remember it, but I recently turned that one off.
But they wouldn't be operating.
Care a lot about France. Stance on tech.
They wouldn't be operating as freely as they are around the world if they were that untrustworthy. And it's such a weak argument when the FBI is trying to do the same thing to tell us, no, these phones, a government that doesn't care about you might do this thing at some point. And when you look into Brett's right, when it comes to that thing being shared, because what they want is just they want code written into the back end of iPhones that basically allows them to enter passcode attempts electronically, because right now they can get around the passcode counter. Like almost any hacker can do that, but then you still have to manually enter passcodes to try and get into the phone. And they want to be able to just send those passcode attempts electronically, which would very much speed up the process of breaking into a phone to the point that they could just kind of break into any phone they wanted in a matter of hours. And that's when you're talking about code written into the phone, it's not like that's going to be limited to them. They want it there so they can use it, but there's no guarantee someone else won't use it.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking disingenuous to be like, hey, you don't want to be spied on, do you? Buy an iPhone instead. It's like, no, you're going to try and spy on me that way.
Mm-hmm.
You're lucky I have Google on my Chinese phone.
And I'm going to put
fucking Baidu on it or whatever their fucking Weibo. I'm going to put Weibo.
Alibaba.
On yeah. I'm sure they'll find searches for me too.
Yeah, you can delete Facebook. Something we talked about in an old episode. Right? Get the Chinese Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
Meet some singles.
Singles?
Don't use it for dating, but also play Chinese farm versus zombie guys.
Chinese Farmville. Can you collect enough zombie dissidents to build a barn for you for free? Chinese Farmville. I would play that.
Yeah.
I'd totally fucking play that. So that's kind of their privacy concern.
I would also say, what are the Chinese going to do with your text messages? What's President Xi or Li or whatever his name is?
Like, yeah, that was.
It's two letters. I can't remember what it is.
I'm pretty sure it's Xi Jinping. Jinping, something like that.
Well, it starts with the XI, and that's his family name.
President of China.
Let's see how close Adam was.
Google. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to pronounce it.
But I was.
It's XI.
I believe. I
someone here hosts an international news politics podcast. That's me. What was that?
I don't know.
Jesus.
That was Jesus coming through?
That was Jesus.
That was Jesus Christ coming through.
You should stop by, buddy.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that's. I think the real problem, I think one spying, I think the FBI does want to be able to spy on us. And they know as hard as they're fighting to get that backdoor to iPhones, they're never going to get that.
Yeah, Huawei is not going to.
With a phone that's made by a company that cares more about the Chinese government, which it sounds like a kind of a cool company. It's like 68% employee owned. Like they seem like. I'm assuming that 32% are like the kids who make the phones and aren't old enough to own a company yet.
The darkness is further down. Let's got to dig more.
That's cool. That's a cool stat. I don't know if they're like cool. I don't think people like show up in jeans and like play ping pong in the office and can bring their dogs in. Like, I don't think they're I don't think they're you like the know. Airbnb office in San Francisco. It's like, oh, we get this cold brew machine.
I don't know. China looks like a pretty swinging place sometimes.
So swinging.
What? If you're in mainland China, like the fucking mainland, cities.
Bro. Oh God.
Oh, okay.
With the pollution.
Well, yeah, the pollution, but that doesn't mean the offices are shitty.
Okay.
I bet they have some.
I bet
they
have
some sleek workspaces in China. And
like candy dispensers in like hallways, little hallways between the
are you describing
studio.
Fucking cracked right now?
It was a cool office. I never got to work
Have you
there.
Never been to another office? It was an office.
I don't think he can hold on a job.
No.
That's a good point.
Not till the voters have their say.
Yeah. When is that coming up?
I don't know. A couple of years, maybe 4 years.
You're not like on like a ballot.
Not running presently.
Okay. Presently.
Yeah.
I'd vote for you.
Thank you.
I would move
to Glendale.
I live in Atwater Village. Would I be able to vote for you?
No, you wouldn't, but you could volunteer your time, your precious time.
I already do that for podcasts. Can't volunteer anymore.
I pay you? What the fuck are you talking about? Jesus.
I've been to the Hong Kong airport a few times.
Is it cool?
It's pretty nice.
All right.
Had some pretty dope Chinese food there.
Oh, really? In China?
At an airport in Hong Kong. Which even Chinese people would be like, that's not China, ever since they took it back. Or, you know, I don't know.
What part of Hong Kong is it?
The airport.
It's in Hong Kong?
The airport.
Who took Hong Kong back?
Isn't Hong Kong not China?
I mean, no, it used to belong to Britain for 100 years.
Yeah,
and then the movie Rush Hour came out where it was like, that
Dangerous
was.
Right.
Yeah, in 1999, handed it back to the Chinese government.
Chris Tucker got Hong Kong back from China.
I thought Hong Kong was independent.
Karate chopped his way to. I mean, it's just the most westernized part of China.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're not thinking of Taiwan, are you? That's kind of its own place, but not really.
I don't know, man.
I know.
I'm just saying I've been to an airport 3 times in my life, and it was nice.
And had decent Chinese food.
Pretty good, yeah, man.
Nice.
I've never been to the Chinese airport.
They still got Burger. They still got
the one.
Don't worry, they got a Burger King in the.
Oh well, I'm there. I'm on board.
Some sort of Irish pub sort of thing going on there. There was like an O'Houlihan's or something like that.
O'Houlihan's, but still spelled in all the wheelbarrow and iron characters.
Oh, like yeah, yeah.
All the hieroglyphics.
Lots of Kelly Green.
I said pictogram earlier and everybody attacked.
Same difference.
So easy when it's you.
Yeah, I know. It's because I genuinely mean well.
You are naive, as the internet says. Is that what they said?
They said something to the tune of he can't believe how bad people can be or something like that. And it was very sweet and very accurate.
Yeah.
But joke's on them. They're the ones writing. Sorry if you're listening. They're the ones writing mean reviews on.
It wasn't mean. They were saying a true statement of fact.
Buzzdoodle.com.
Did you say .com?
Yeah.
I'm just, if it got more listeners and those listeners are potential voters, never know, then it's all good in the hood.
It is all good in the hood.
The Armenian version of Unpops.
Uh-huh.
Which there, it does exist, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro, my friend.
So.
Ayo.
Shall we?
What?
Move on.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we're going to. The other thing I think that. The government or just the U.S. is concerned about when it comes to this company is we're not getting anywhere in improving our internet and telecommunications infrastructure. That's the thing. We did an episode about it not too long ago, and I brought up that like Estonia has the fastest internet, and people were like, oh, but is Estonia as big as the United States? No, it's not, but Europe is. And in Europe, if you're a country, you can just build your own fucking network and it can be the fastest and best thing. But if you're in the United States, which is just Europe with states instead of countries, you can't, as a state, build your own network without getting a shit ton of backlash from people. Danger, this is your chance to shine. All right. Talk about Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Okay, so, I mean, let's just backtrack a little bit. In California, if you want to set up a telecommunications company or telecommunications anything, you first have to offer your infrastructure and the rights to your infrastructure to a private concern. So that in our laws right now
what does that mean?
It basically means that like the state can't set anything up, the cities can't set anything up, the county can't set anything up. It has to be put through private enterprise first. If you want to set up any telecommunications, anything. And this has seriously hampered things because it basically means that AT&T doesn't have any competition.
Right.
So they don't have to improve services. They don't have they can lie to people and make a fake ringtone on the other end and just say, like, sorry, this person's not
available. Yeah, let's talk about that quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what Chattanooga, the latest thing that happened to them, they have this fucking amazing internet service in Chattanooga. And they wanted to spread it out to rural areas where cell service and internet service is notoriously shitty.
Yeah, Chattanooga built their own network from the ground up. It was the fastest internet in America. It was municipally owned. It was cheaper than the other products had been or you know, relatively around the same price. And it was so good that it cut their unemployment in half. It became like the Silicon Valley of the Midwest, basically.
Because doing business in an environment like that, you just inherently save money because everything moves so much faster. It's so much more efficient.
Right. And that network was so good that they said, okay, we want to expand our coverage to neighboring cities for free.
Right.
And the state of Tennessee said, can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't. You have to give that money to AT&T or to T-Mobile. And then they can use your money to improve their services. So
and
that they
that's
can,
what bothers me about the, oh, well, we have more land to cover here. Our internet can't be as good. Yeah, it can.
Yeah.
It absolutely can. It's just the FCC is so beholden to these few companies that control everything that they're not, there's no incentive for them to improve. And they actively try and shut shit down when it does look like it's going to improve. And meanwhile, what you mentioned about the fake ringtones, that's a real thing. T-Mobile this week got fined $40 million because they were so incapable of connecting calls to rural areas that they eventually, instead of the call just going right to voicemail, which you know it either didn't go through or the phone is off.
Adam's hanging up on me again. It's blocking my calls.
Exactly. They put a fake
ring. Your baby, Adam. we had a baby together.
We did.
Oh, hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's nice.
they put fake ringtones into these calls to make it seem like.
No, explain that. That when I read that the first time, I was like, fake ringtones? Like.
The ring back.
Like,
you know, you remember when you used to call somebody?
Yeah, plays the final countdown every time you call someone.
Well, there was like that
Family
one classical
Guy's theme, and then Stewie being like, your phone is ringing.
What it, but all it means.
So when you hear the ringing sound on
when you're calling somebody
and you hear them
and you hear it ring and ring and ring, and then it finally goes to voicemail and you're like, oh well, they just didn't answer. No, the call didn't go through at all. They just put a fake ringtone in to make it seem like the call went through and no one answered. And this was happening for years to millions and millions of calls. And it's like, there could be someone with sick relatives in rural areas, fucking elderly parents who live alone. A doctor might need to call his patient in a rural area. Like, that's heinous. That's a heinous thing.
I mean, in some of the stuff I've been reading about it too, like, people can't reach 911.
Ooh. Right.
They call 911 and it rings and it's like, sorry, I can't come to the- Hello? Yeah?
Hey,
oh, sorry, I'm 911. I'm not here right now.
But I'm bleeding.
I'm like, meter, right?
Yeah. And meanwhile, one of the other things, like all the thing that's been getting all the headlines is the government saying, oh, don't buy these phones. But the government also, we have imposed tariffs on Huawei equipment. And the reason we're doing that, Huawei is way ahead. You could say they're Huawei ahead.
Thank you
very much. I'm on their website, and there's like a bunch of sort of just like flashy pictures of the phone and Gal Gadot holding a phone. And one of the images, it's like the phone, it looks cool and it's big and stuff. And it says, wow, W-O-W-W-A-Y or something.
Yeah.
Or W-E-I, you know. It's like, wow.
What a fun thing for English speakers.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But this company is way ahead on 5G technology. Which they're actually, a story came out just today that in 2019, they're planning to introduce the first 5G capable phone. And building up to that, they were wanting to go into communities in the United States and build a 5G network.
Yes, please.
I want a 5G network.
Yep.
Here's the thing. When it came out that Trump wanted to build a 5G network and nationalize it, I was like, yeah, that's what we need. Yep. I don't care who's our president. That's
broken clock.
That is exactly what we need. And
can we get a progress report on that real quick?
It's not.
Brown people are not allowed to live in America anymore.
Oh, okay. That was we were talking about something completely different.
No, they Donald just Trump just said it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, the thing about the 5G network, like Obama introduced a similar idea. 5G was not a thing we thought about in 2010, but he put forth a similar idea where he was like, hey, we need like a national internet thing that everyone can access. And we being liberals were like, yeah, man, that sounds great. And when Trump said the same thing, we were like, no, you're going to spy on us. The reality is Obama would have spied on us with that. Obama spied on everybody. And so will Trump. And so will every fucking government.
Of course, Trump wants the Facebook to be everywhere so everyone could share the memes about how he's great.
Exactly. But we need to improve our telecommunications infrastructure in this country. And we have two choices right now. We depend on Verizon and T-Mobile and Sprint to do it for us.
They will not.
Or we let the government do it.
Yeah.
And I get that it's scary with Trump in office saying, okay, yeah, do it, please. But the alternative is we wait, another 8 years until Trump's out of office and then revisit the issue.
He's going to be president for 10 years?
Probably. Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be VP to President Pence.
Can we? How much money is everyone... How much money is everyone comfortable betting right now that the 2020 elections are delayed? Because I will put a significant amount of money.
This is the first time I've heard about it, but since you were right about Trump about a year in advance, like late 15, we were recording our first podcast. We were like, he's going to win.
Yep.
And I was like, nope, the entire time.
The 2020 elections will be delayed.
Delayed. On what grounds?
Probably voter fraud and especially immigration, illegal immigrants voting, convicts voting, things like that. Like, what do you think that big voter research project he's got going is about? Like, it's
Chris Kobach, the Kansas Secretary of State.
Yeah.
I thought that folded. He was like, well, it failed and we're never going to do this again.
Okay. Like, but they did it. Like they did, like
what? They couldn't prove anything. They couldn't do anything.
They don't need to.
Yeah, you're right.
They don't like he'll. But another story.
In the spirit of democracy, I'll take your bet.
Trump scares me. Okay, good. Let's bet $100 on it.
Let's bet $50.
By 2020, come on, have some confidence.
I have a family at that point, so I'll get you.
Put those kids to work. China will be on the spot.
How about a decent bottle of whiskey, sir?
Fine.
Cool. Thanks.
Fine. So
I'm gonna forget we did this.
Yeah, I totally will too. But see, that's the thing.
Good thing there's no record.
The NSA wrote this down. I'm that scared of Trump, but I also, if he was like, let's build us a 5G network right now, I'd be like, yes, do it. Because the government's going to spy on me through the internet either way. And a faster internet infrastructure would be a good thing. And I feel like a lot of this, China's trying to spy on us. It's more, no, we just don't want China to get the jump on things like 5G. So we're using this spying story, but I don't think it's all not. I think the spying angle is accurate, but I just still think the government wants to spy on us because Huawei is also, they just recently joined in talks to build a blockchain phone. So that would basically be a phone that you can use cryptocurrency on. You can store your cryptocurrency safely on it, on a phone that the U.S. government cannot access through backdoor channels. And you can buy and sell shit with cryptocurrency on your phone. So at that point, you have a phone that the government can't break into that works on any of those pay-as-you-go networks where you can just send a homeless guy into 7-Eleven to buy you more minutes for your phone. So you never even have to be seen with it. There's no paper trail, like an actual burner phone, but that works really great.
And you don't burn it thereafter.
You don't burn it. You just use it forever, like, and they can't find you.
It's like a burner phone, but like you can do the true depth Snapchat filters on it. So right. It's like super great.
Like you could conceivably use a phone like this to kind of go off the grid without really going off the grid. Because all the channels that the, like, I mean, it would involve taking like Google and Facebook and all that shit off your phone and just using it for like calls and texts. But if you're planning to do some shit in the next few years that the government wouldn't like, I think you could do worse than buying a Huawei phone.
What a ringing endorsement.
I feel like it is a ringing endorsement in this fucking environment.
Huawei, you could do worse.
Huawei, hide from your government.
There's also the possibility that some truly heinous people could get these phones and use them to communicate with their criminal enterprises.
People do that now.
That's true. That's very true.
Like these aren't.
Adam uses his criminal phone to talk to us.
Yeah.
You're saying,
I've texted him.
Can at some point a gray key or whatever be used on a Huawei phone to crack it at the local level without the.
Well, that's the thing. These phones aren't unbreakable. They're like, you can break into these as easily as any other phone, I assume.
But also it's just, it's a Chinese corporation. When the FBI calls Apple, there is probably some channels and they have lawyers and they go back right. and forth. The receptionist at Huawei is like, the FBI is calling. They pick up and they're like, hello, Domino's, and they laugh, you know, and they hang up.
Yeah. It's like, I like that it's a company that's not beholden to our government. In these times we live in, that makes me feel better about carrying around a device that is literally tracking my every move. Like, I would much rather that my step counter data get pumped to China than the United States. That's all.
China's like calling. Adam, you're doing great, man. You've done 4 miles today.
Yeah. It's so that's all I'm saying. How far in are we?
I don't know.
Oh, 50 minutes. We should we get to comments?
Let's get to comments.
Does anyone have anything else to say about phones? I hope not, because the music's going, baby. You know, it's a big world out there. It's easy to feel like the things you say don't even matter. I want you to know that's not true.
Yes, it is.
Don't say anything, Danger. That's why we call this segment Your Voice Matters.
It does not.
Where we read your stupid fucking comments from the past few shows.
Very dumb.
And respond to them personally.
Personally.
Fade it out, Brad. Oh, that was tender. All right.
So tender.
Let's read.
Earthworm Jim there?
I don't know.
No. It was, but it's fine.
What? Let's read some comments. This one is from SoundCloud. Tim RSIL says, I deleted my Facebook account 3 days after the Parkland shooting. What are you up to, Tim?
Yeah, that's weird. That's so specific.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like,
what are you hiding, Tim?
Jeez.
Jesus.
I kept getting into arguments on Facebook with people on both sides. In parentheses, yeah, it's insane that there are sides to a school shooting. I agree.
Well, yeah, weird that you're getting into arguments with the people who are like, please stop shooting kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, everybody quiet down here. The people who want to shoot the kids are wrong, but also the people who don't want to shoot the kids are wrong. My view is the best. We should shoot some kids.
My 4-year-old daughter wanted me to play with her, but I was too busy trying to prove that some idiot I don't know was wrong. I snapped at her to leave me alone, and that's when I realized I'd crossed the line. I deleted my account that night, and I've been much happier since, and also I shot my daughter. I added that last part.
This is a roller coaster.
Yeah, it was an emotional roller coaster of a comment, for
sure. At first, he's like,
SoundCloud, baby.
I knew something about the Parkland shooting. Second off, the victim, David Hogg, is a crisis actor. And then I yelled at my daughter. I mean,
stop
it feels
crying
like,
about those
it
dead
feels
kids.
Like it's the moment in Monsters, Inc. where Sully has to perform his scare maneuver and Boo watches it and she gets
so
scared. Why am I yelling at my daughter while I'm like arguing with somebody's aunt here? Cool. Good for you, yeah. Tim.
That person's aunt's profile picture is of their cat.
Maybe one of the sides of the Parkland shooting isn't wrong.
Mm.
The one who doesn't think people should have guns. But whatever, Tim.
Oh, from Patreon, Garrett Page. And these are all from last week's episode with Alex Schmidt called Kill Your Facebook Danger.
Mm.
Kill Your Facebook.
I needed to communicate with activists. I'm sorry.
Garrett Page says, I would love to have that sports podcast get made. I know y'all floated the idea a while back.
Remind me because I got some tweets about it today. We did a bit about a sports podcast.
I think we kind of floated the idea. I'm doing a sports podcast soon. Do you want to do it?
Hell yeah, man. I love sports.
Let's do it. We're doing one. I think Josh Denny's going to be the other co-host. But yeah, I think we are doing a sports podcast soon. Let's do it, Brett.
Hell yeah.
Jill Jam Joom says, thanks to Brett.
No.
Why are you being this way? Your first name is Danger.
Mm? It's not really.
I know, but make people call you that.
It's Danger Jam Joom.
So Danger Jam Joom says, thanks to Brett for the heads up on being able to deactivate Facebook, but keep Messenger. Messenger is the only reason I keep my profile up.
Hell yeah, Jill.
Right?
Get it, girl.
From Jillian, as far as
Jillian Jam Jumian,
as far as Facebook Messenger still being useful, I have a few friends that couldn't afford a phone bill, so they switched to just using Messenger.
Wow.
With the Facebook calling option and everything, they realized they didn't even need phone service anymore. I've done the same for short periods when I've fallen on hard times. That's interesting. You know what I used to do for a phone? I had an iPod Touch. And there was an app that was like $15 a month and you could make unlimited calls and texts. And then I carried this really thin Wi-Fi hotspot around with me. So even if I wasn't on Wi-Fi, I could connect to that thing. And the Wi-Fi hotspot was like $10 a month.
I just imagine Adam walking around like Doc Brown with like a series of contraptions. See, it's like I have a phone and it's so much easier and cheaper. And he has like a twig, like his whole ET phone home setup. He has the little dial,
little aluminum foil.
He has like the record player and the little speak and dial like keyboard thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it looked
basically.
Like.
The buzzsaw that goes, you know,
generate power by lighting this joint.
It's just like, see, it's only $15 a month. I could be paying $23 a month to Amazon. And look how much easier this is.
I just carried it in a backpack. It was great.
I imagine that would also keep the bill collectors at bay.
I can't use it at night. Mm.
Can't use it at night.
Yet. When it rains, you get the Mexican Christian radio station coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie French says, I simply unfollow everyone and just post my own promotional stuff, regular updates, etc. If I ever want to see what's up with other folks, I'll just click the little globe icon towards the top of the screen and get a general feel for anything I might want to click on.
What's a globe?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck the globe does.
Jamie French, you're too deep on that Facebook.
Yeah.
If you post your own promotional stuff, nobody cares. Just letting you know, Jamie French.
No, man.
Sorry. Everyone's like,
that's you, Danger.
Everyone's like, oh, God.
Danger French posting
Jamie,
your promotional
stuff. Jamie with her caricatures again. No one's going to your Etsy. I'm sure you're great. Whatever. Like, I'm making fun, but I'm not. Delete your Facebook.
Brett loves his joke em ups.
Joke em ups?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Your eyes crack ems.
Bailey Wiggle says, I wonder what would happen if Adam wrote an article that he knew included false information and tried to sell it to sites known for fake news. They'd buy that shit because I'm dope.
Yeah, you're also being goaded into the circulation of misinformation.
You
could probably write some really good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'd be great at it.
Yeah.
I see.
It's what I'm going to do if this network ever folds.
Are your bulls spying on you? My bones.
I see a world. I think this is the most likely scenario for Adam, like getting actually like really like famous.
Dangerous.
Famous in that he's like trying to do a bit and he's like trying to do like an Alex Jones bit and it gets picked up and he to maintain, you know, his like extravagant
commitment to character.
Yeah. He like to maintain having money. Like, he gets offered a lot of money to actually be a right wing conspiracy theorist.
So you think literally what happened to Alex Jones.
Oh, really?
Is what's going to happen. Here's the thing. As much as people
talk
about
improv troupe in college,
as much as people talk about crisis actors and shit like that, that's what I think Alex Jones is. I think Alex Jones is just another wing of the U.S. government.
Hmm.
Because
Dana Loesch is a failed actress.
Because, we don't make me talk about Alex Jones and Bill Hicks.
We don't have to. All right. Oh, no.
We set up another episode. Oh, no.
Here's the thing.
Look at.
We don't have any video of Alex Jones until Bill Hicks died in 1993 or wherever.
I don't know that, but they are on the same production company, and one joined pretty much the year after the other died, and they look identical,
exactly the same.
They sound identical.
Oh my God.
And I don't know, man. Bill Hicks could have just been like, "Look, I'm fucking tired of how do we know his real name was Bill Hicks? His name could have been Bill Sankiewicz." Hicks.
Whoa, Sankiewicz,
right?
It's the exact sort of thing Bill Hicks would do.
It is the exact sort of thing Bill Hicks would do, and even
he should take off the mask at some point. It's getting a little scary.
Even if they're not the same person, I still feel like Alex Jones is an act, and I think he's already had to go to court and admit that it's an act.
Yeah.
But I think it's bigger than that. I don't think it's just, oh, I know this riles people up. I think he intentionally spreads misinformation on behalf of the U.S. government. So there's your fucking conspiracy theory. Take that to InfoWars.
Make
motherfuckers.
A podcast about it, homeboy.
Maybe I will.
All right.
He's got a whole show.
Yeah, should we play?
Very
this is
popular.
Such we have a weird episode. Yeah. Probably because Danger's just been staring dreamily at me for most of it.
You know what? You have very kind eyes.
Do you want to play this voicemail? It's long. It's
yeah, let's
seconds.
Listen to it.
All right, we can edit
it. We made a dude leave his wife.
Whoa, what? Spoiler alert.
Spoilers.
Yo, what is up? So, less of a question, more of something that y'all might find encouraging. I just finished listening to what Jessica Jones is really about episode. And I've had thoughts about this before, but listening to the things that you guys were saying about abusive relationships and making me realize some of the allegories that were in Jessica Jones and that I'd seen, is helping encourage me to leave my abusive shit wife. I don't think it's fair to not go ahead and recognize the fact that she does have some shit going on, and she has tried to get better. But it's ruining my life. I got dark really fast. But y'all are making me feel a little bit encouraged. So I just wanted to let you know that what you're doing, to some degree, is more important than just putting out something entertaining. I just wanted to say thanks. Y'all have a good one.
Whoa.
Well,
hold on. There we go. So
not a lot
cool,
of jokes inherent in I'm reclaiming my life.
Here's the thing. That sounds harsh. It sounds like, oh, this dude listened to the podcast and decided to leave his wife. But it sounds like he's in a bad situation, and we encouraged him to maybe do something about it.
That one was a tough episode. I mean,
that was
I think there were four people in the room. I think I was the only one who didn't cry while recording that.
Yeah.
Should I listen to that one? I haven't listened.
Have you seen Jessica Jones?
Loved the first season. Haven't cracked into the second yet.
You should watch the second season, then listen to that podcast.
It was a heavy one. You know, the show is sort of an allegory for abusive relationships, for mental illness, like all sorts of stuff like that. So, and we had,
it was a very heavy episode.
Hmm.
If you haven't listened to it and you want to hear me almost cry and not tell any jokes.
I mean, you've never been vulnerable before, so that sounds nice.
That is untrue. Go seek out my...
I think he was very vulnerable and he talked about...
Go seek out...
His Huawei.
I was on a podcast called Nick Has a Pool House. Go throw that a few extra 100 downloads out of nowhere and make him wonder where they're coming from. You will hear me cry on that podcast. Ooh. Well, they ask when was the last time I cried? And it was during the Breaking Bad finale.
Right now. You asking me that?
Was it just that floating up to heaven shot? Or was
there was a scene that reminded me of when my dad died.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But yeah, man, it was a heavy episode. I'm glad it inspired you to leave your wife.
Yeah, if she's abusive.
Yeah, no, it's not leaving the wife. It's getting out of an abusive situation.
Right. You we're kind of making light of it.
Reclaim your life. Reclaim yourself.
My wife.
Hey, my ex-wife. It doesn't really work.
No, it's not the same thing.
Yeah. Mm. Sorry.
That's our voicemail. Don't
you can call it.
At 505-386-7677.
That's 505-3-UNPOPS.
Or 505-FUN-POPS.
FUN-POPS.
Oh, yeah. And me and Brett are going to be doing a monthly voicemail email thing. Send us your questions. Send us your concerns.
What's the email address for that, boss?
advice@unpops.com.
That's a good one.
Ooh. Right?
It's a good email address.
Send us an email. Ask us questions. They don't all have to be heavy questions. Maybe you want to ask us if we'd rather fight a duck-sized horse or a horse-sized duck. Stuff like that.
Duck-sized horse.
You never know.
Come on.
Yeah.
There's 100
duck-sized. Yeah, 100 duck-sized horses. Yeah,
it's not even.
Do I get an oversized fly swatter?
No.
Wow.
Where are you right now?
I'm thinking about ducks. I'm thinking about ducks and horses. Having a good time.
So yeah, advice@unpops.com. And that's gonna be a bonus episode of Unpops every month that you can get when you subscribe on Patreon. Patreon.com/unpops, baby. It's only $5 a month.
Keeping the lights on.
All right.
Yeah, come on.
Danger, do you have anything to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, Countless Thousands is playing a show at the exact same time as your show on Saturday.
You know, the hardest part of the show for me.
He's so angry at me. He's glaring at me.
I'll also say
we're letting you talk.
Yeah, I know. It's great. It feels nice. It feels in the unexplored territory here. Countless Thousands. Did you cut my mic?
I didn't do that one.
It's all fun. I enjoy the camaraderie that I experience here.
Your mic's back on. Go.
Right now, okay. We have a new song we're working on. We're gonna record it soon. You know, give us some time. And also join your local tenants unions. It's at Glendale, California, running a rent control campaign right now. We need donations and stuff. Go up on the old Indiegogos or Crowd Packs or whatnot and search for Rent Control Glendale, and hopefully by then I'll have everything set up. It remains to be seen.
But very nice.
Yeah. So we got a long way to go. 15,000 signatures to collect by August. We need your help. GlendaleTenants.org. Yeah.
Or do I have to be a Glendale resident?
You have to be a Glendale resident.
I'll sign
up.
You
can volunteer. You can volunteer.
No, I'm not
to collect
that.
Signatures.
On, yeah.
And tell
what
friends.
What am I made of free time?
I have a
donate,
lot of nothing to do.
Cashola. Yeah.
It's baseball
season.
Here
and there.
162 games. I got time
not
to canvas
watch
the neighborhood.
Not going to watch themselves. Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
I mean, all baseball is watching itself.
Don't be that way, sports ball.
No, I just come don't on. Like baseball.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Sports Ballers. That's yeah. our podcast.
I'm not that guy.
No, the name of the podcast is Sports Ball is Dead. I announced it like a year ago and we just never launched it. It was supposed to be me and Andy Sell and Vanessa Gritton at one point. Ooh. Then it was going to be me and Keith Carey.
Oh,
and
dream
I just
team.
Never got around to it. But now I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I know what it's going to be. I want to do it.
Love
I want to
have settling I want to have Brad for Josh on Denny. It.
Hell yeah, man.
Settling? Josh Denny's funny as shit.
And Josh Denny settles for us, baby.
Right?
He's on the Food Network or something like that. Travel Network?
He used to be.
Oh, yeah. They find out about what he says. He's found out about what he says.
R.I.P. Ginormous Food.
Anyways.
All right. Let's get the fuck out of here. Danger.
Yes.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Brett, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.